From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And it's time for our reporter roundtable, where we talk about what's been making headlines in different parts of the state. Today, we're focusing on Springfield and Peoria. Joining us for that is Dean Olson, senior staff writer for Illinois Times, the news weekly in Springfield. Dean, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Tim Shelley, news director at WCBU Peoria Public Radio. Tim, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks, Brian. Glad to be here.
Dean, I'm going to begin with you, and we're going to start with an update on a story we talked about last time you were on the program. This is with regards to a Springfield resident who has been charged with essentially running houses of prostitution. What's the latest turn in that story?
The latest is that Greg Frazee, who is the man charged in this conspiracy to operate the prostitution sites, he works for the local water reclamation district, which runs the sewer systems in Springfield. And what's new is that we found out that he has been involved in some sort of business relationship on another property, an office building, with a state trooper in town. And that's kind of an interesting development. We also learned that this state trooper was sold one of the buildings to Greg Frazee that later became one of the Asian massage parlors that was alleged to have been involved in this prostitution ring.
Is there any allegation of wrongdoing on the part of this trooper, or is that not part of this case, at least so far?
At least not so far. There's no allegation of wrongdoing. I've been trying to reach the state trooper. The prosecutors in this case won't comment. But the way it came up was because Greg Frazee, the person charged, he's on his own recognizance right now. He asked the court to allow him to transfer his half ownership of that office building to fully to the state trooper who owns the other half. Frazee says that he doesn't want to have to continue to contribute to the mortgage and the utilities and the upkeep of that place. And he says his financial situation has changed. It's unclear how his financial situation has changed, though. He's continuing to work at the sanitary district. The prosecutors say his financial situation has changed because he's no longer financially benefiting from this alleged prostitution ring. So the judge has not ruled on whether that transfer of assets can happen. In a case like this, there's often involved a freeze on somebody's assets so they don't end up liquidating things that the federal government might want to seize in assets as part of the conclusion of this case. So it's still pending.
Still pending. All right. Well, speaking of the Illinois State Police, in a separate story, they concluded an investigation into a shooting that happened at the Sangamon County Juvenile Detention Center. This happened last September. What did that investigation find?
The investigation failed to find out how a juvenile who was housed at the center and ended up breaking out of the center and being shot by Springfield police as he tried to escape and confronted police. Nobody knows how he got the gun, the loaded gun that he used to threaten his way out and to take a hostage as he was going out. And this investigation basically said we couldn't find how he got that gun. There were ways probably of him smuggling it in somehow, but the police have not found that. And so that's basically what they said. And the county officials who run this juvenile detention center say that they're going to be taking more steps to make sure that everybody goes through metal detectors. Apparently not everything is screened as it could be. And they didn't find any overt smuggling going on. There's an outdoor area to this place too. It's kind of unclear whether somebody might have thrown a gun over a fence to him, and who knows. But they're going to try to beef up the security and the electronic monitoring and upgrade the equipment that they have for screening that. It's supposedly going to go beyond what you a conventional metal detector that you would go through like in a county courthouse. It's going to be more like what you would go through in an airport, where they can scan you and they can look through your clothes and that sort of thing. So that's the only upshot right now. I think if any new information comes forward, they would take action on that. But this it's a, obviously a tragic situation when somebody has to die out of this, and so that's the next step for the
Yeah.
county officials in Sangamon County.
Upgraded screening. All right. Still a lot of questions there. Tim Shelley, let me bring you into the conversation now. And this is another police-related story, and that is the mayor of Peoria, Rita Ali, has come out in support of the police chief there. What was the story? What prompted her to do that?
Well, there's actually a couple stories here. So the police chief has taken some very public stances on a couple issues that have happened in Peoria recently. The city of Peoria traditionally has two fireworks shows around Independence Day, one hosted by the Park District on the 3rd of July, and then one on the riverfront on the 4th of July. The police chief went to a Park District board meeting and expressed concerns about the safety of that event. And the Park District Board did decide to cancel the event, at least for this year. The other thing that happened actually relates to the Pretrial Reform Act, where a man who was allegedly pointed a gun at a Peoria police officer was released, on pretrial release. Not detained, basically. The chief came out and publicly criticized the judge in that case who released that suspect. And actually, in Tazewell County, that same suspect was then arrested and charged, and the judge in Tazewell County decided to detain that suspect pretrial. So the mayor's come out and said, yes, I back the chief on these issues. I back the chief kind of using the bully pulpit to take a stand on some of these public safety issues, which has been uncommon in the past in Peoria.
That's interesting. I remember talking with, Mayor Ali is, I believe, the first African American woman mayor of Peoria, and I think she was elected after the 2020, the racial reckoning, the protests, and all that. But even in our some of our first interviews, she was, did not necessarily take sort of a knee-jerk anti-police stand as some might expect based on pure demographics. So seems consistent with her past positions as well. Tim, let's talk about another local government story there. Woodford County recently tabled a controversial resolution. Maybe you can tell us what was that all about?
Sure. So Woodford County took up what they're calling a non-sanctuary resolution. We've seen these in several counties around Illinois. The Grundy and LaSalle County boards actually passed something similar. And what the Woodford County resolution says essentially is that we do not have the resources to help migrants in the country illegally. We're going to allocate our limited resources to citizens of this country. And it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. Well, I shouldn't say knee-jerk, but it's kind of a reaction to things that are happening in Chicago right now, where we've seen an influx of migrants dropped off by the state of Texas. So that did prove controversial at the county board meeting earlier this week, where several people came out and spoke against that resolution. So the Woodford County Board opted to table that resolution, at least for now. I believe there's still some questions in terms of how it's written that they want to perhaps re-examine.
All right. And let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking with Tim Shelley of WCBU, Peoria Public Radio, and Dean Olson with Illinois Times, weekly newspaper in Springfield, about what's been happening in different communities around Illinois this week, focusing on, as I said, Peoria and Springfield. And Dean, let me come back to you. There's a push by firefighters in Springfield for a city-operated ambulance service. Oh boy, it's been, what, more than a year now since you were on the program talking with us about some the paramedics who were accused of killing a man, essentially, in Springfield. Correct me if I'm wrong on the details there, but is this push for a city-operated ambulance service as opposed to the private services that exist now, is it related to that story?
It's not directly related, but the fact that the Earl Moore case happened, that was in December of 2022. That has raised the profile of ambulance services in Springfield. And Earl Moore, that case is still going through the system, where an EMT and a paramedic with LifeStar Ambulance were charged with basically treating Mr. Moore roughly and putting him face down on when he was going through alcohol withdrawal and drug withdrawal, putting him face down on a gurney, strapping him down, and he died from asphyxiation once he got to the hospital. So that's been that, and also the paramedics were white, Mr. Moore is black, so there's all these dynamics that are going on. But that raised the question of how can ambulance services be improved. And also there was an issue where firefighters who are paramedics and advanced EMTs in Springfield were required to ride in the back of some of these private ambulances on the hospital in severe cases because there was a shortage of paramedics employed by the private ambulance services. So that became a union issue with the firefighters. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to have more ambulances on the street, and they believe that a city operated ambulance service to supplement what the three private companies offer would be the best solution for the public. So that is continuing, and it had enough public attention that the city council in Springfield decided to include money for buying a private ambulance and for equipping that private ambulance. It's about $500,000 total. The city is not obligated to spend that money, but it's in the budget. And now the mayor, Misty Buescher, a new mayor, has agreed to form a commission that will formally study this issue on whether it's worth it for the city to do it. And the firefighters union is all for this because they believe that that there's a shortage of ambulances. The 911 center director, who's employed by the county, believes there's a shortage of ambulance services in general, although he has not taken a stand on whether there should be a city ambulance service. And it's a question of starting up something new, and that's always hard in a municipality because many times these municipalities are fairly strapped for money. The firefighters say Billings and Medicare funding and federal funding would help pay for it, but then it's the unknown and it's potential pension cost increases for the city. So that is proceeding, and it'll be interesting to watch what happens. There are a few communities our size and larger that operate municipal city operated ambulance services, like Bloomington, Illinois, Rockford, Illinois, and Chicago. I think in those communities, it's all operated by the city, you know, the city government. But in Springfield, it would be more like a supplemental service.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure we will hear more as that story continues to play out. Tim, we're coming to the end of our time together. I do want to talk about the Postal Service. This was a conversation we had on the program more broadly about changes the U.S. Postal Service wants to make in a number of downstate communities, but it's moving ahead with moving Peoria mail sorting operations to suburban Chicago. What more can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Brian, this is a process kind of going on around the country where the post office is looking to consolidate its mail sorting operation. So when you mail a letter, it goes to a it goes to the post office, it's sent to a sorting center for sorting, and then it's sent to whatever corresponding post office that letter is going to. So they're saying they want to move that from Peoria to the south suburbs of Chicago, Bedford Park specifically, and there's been some questions from lawmakers, the postal union, in terms of what the job impact of that would be, what the impact on mail delivery times might be. The post office says there wouldn't be any in those cases, but there's been some skepticism expressed about that, I suppose.
And we saw Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski of Central Illinois filing legislation, or talking about legislation at least this week, to potentially block that move. But we will have to talk more about that on another occasion. Tim Shelley, news director at WCBU Peoria Public Radio, and Dean Olson, senior staff writer at Illinois Times. Tim and Dean, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be having our political roundtable. We'll talk about U.S. Supreme Court arguments that could have a significant effect on the corruption case against former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Those arguments took place earlier this week. We'll talk with someone who covered them. That's after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.